Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
In Community Connections on Basingstoke Radio, it's a new year and Claire, the garden editor, is on the telephone. Good morning to you, Claire. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year to you and all your lovely listeners. I do you have a good one?
I did. Yourself?
Very, very nice. I can't quite believe it's 2026. Do you know? Feels a bit like the years are going past quite fast, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but I suppose it's because you don't write checks, do you? So you don't put 20, you don't put the date on it anymore, because
No.
that'd be the normally downfall, wouldn't it? After when the new year starts, when you write a check, you went, oh, I've got the date wrong.
Yeah.
But
Well,
you
the
ain't got
first
that
thing I think I
anymore.
did, I went onto my website and updated the copyright notice for 2026. But do you know what? This is right. I promise we'll talk about gardening in a minute, but this will blow your mind. We are now closer to 2050 than we are to the millennium.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a bit of a sobering thought for me. I was like, wow, okay, we really are racing through the century, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, you just think how long. Oh, sorry, I knocked my microphone sounding. I mean, you just think how long ago was COVID? And it just
Oh,
seems like
yeah.
that was well, it was years ago, but years ago, wasn't it? And it wasn't that long ago, really, when you think about it.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's so weird. Time is not linear, I'm convinced. It's kind of different in terms of how we
Oh,
perceive it. And
something
the
like the
same is, you know,
Matrix. A bit like the
oh, very
Matrix,
much
isn't
so.
it? Yeah.
Yeah,
We all live
and
in a
particularly
parallel universe.
we do multiple universes. And one of the things the universe is doing at the moment, certainly nature is doing lots of resting because it has been very cold. It's been
And it
quite
just.
wet as well. We've had some really cold flurries of snow and things like that. So if you look outside, most of nature is busy resting at this time of year, which I think is a good cue for us. But I thought we could talk a bit about something. I don't believe so much in intentions and resolutions, but quite a few people want to help their gardens become wildlife friendly. So I thought we could do a bit of a five top tips on how we can do that without it looking too messy. Do you know what I mean? Without it just looking like a
I
load of
could give you
brambles.
just one tip.
Go on then.
Don't do nothing. That'd be wildlife friendly, wouldn't
You've actually done this too often with me, Dave,
it?
because I swear sometimes you must be looking at my notes or have so in that in a parallel universe you're finding out what I'm writing down because
Have
point
you written that
four
down then?
on my list is do less.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay. That was just
We'll
a
get to
guess.
that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We'll get to that. There's always a point of me saying do less at one point in these podcasts, isn't it? But anyway, let's crack on then. So the first thing I would say when we're thinking about wildlife-friendly gardens is that one of the easiest and the best ways to get more wildlife into your garden is to add water. If you add a water source, whether that's a bird dipping pond, a wildlife pond, a tiny little bird bath, just something, any element of water really helps wildlife. Why? Because all living things need to eat, they need to drink, they need somewhere to shelter, they need somewhere to live. And quite often we think about kind of big important things, but we forget sometimes about water. And you may recall quite a few years ago now, I think we did a whole episode on how to build a pond.
Yeah, we did.
And so you
Yeah.
can get so you can go back and look through the archives for that one if you want if you're interested in this. But it doesn't have to be big. It can be as small as a small bird bath. And in the height of summer, I was in a client's garden and we had a bird bath out. And you know what? There was just loads and loads of bees coming and drinking in that heat wave, just clearly showing how just the smallest addition of water can make a huge difference to all sorts of species, not just one or two.
Yeah, we got a
So
dog
that
bowl of water in the garden. Does that make any difference?
Well, the one thing I would say with those is do change the water quite frequently because you don't know what bugs your dog has got and what, do you know what I mean? So, my dog obviously likes the dirtiest, the foulest water, the better. None of this
Yeah, well,
clean, fresh
yeah.
stuff from the tap, you know.
Oh, no, that's right. No,
Typical.
yeah. It's got to be
No.
rainwater or stuff that's been out there for a couple of days. He's quite happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
absolutely. The greener and slightly moving, the better. But, you know, in an ideal world, yeah, find somewhere for your pets to drink, but also somewhere for wildlife to drink is a really good idea. So that's tip one, just add some water. And then tip two is something that we have lots of questions about, which is grass. And lots of people talk about something called no-mow May, which is when you leave your grass longer for wildlife. And we've done various episodes on lawns over the years and how to improve them, how to make them look nice and things like that. But we talked a bit about kind of trends in the past which are coming back. Now, do you remember the 1980s mullets? All the footballers had them.
I think I might have had one a
I
few
was going
years.
to say
Not
there's
so much
signs
now,
there.
because one of our representatives, Mr. B, Stevie B, noticed I was going bald the other day around the back of my head. I'm not happy about that. I think I should make it No Mo May as well. I think I'm not having my hair cut.
No
Yes,
Mo
but I do
Dave,
remember
No
that.
Mo.
Sorry. Yeah, I do remember
Yeah,
that, Claire. Sorry.
no,
Yeah.
absolutely. And mullets are really becoming popular. If you go around a secondary school, there's quite a few mullets on display, looking all sorts of fine. And it's a bit of a trend in gardening. And the idea with mullet gardening for your lawn is that you don't have everything all very short. You don't have everything all completely long and chaotic, but you have different lengths of grass in different parts of your garden. So you might have some very neat parts where you have some nice paths and places to walk through, but you could leave other parts a little bit longer, a bit like the bit of the mullet.
Is that
And the
trendy?
reason why it is quite
Yeah, I was doing
trendy.
that years ago because I'd missed bits
Yeah.
with a lawnmower.
Well, now you've just founded a design phenomenon,
You
so
go.
you should take great credit for that. And the theory behind it is that different species of wildlife need different lengths of grass. So, for instance, cutting the grass very short means you have things like daisies, which are really good for hoverflies and bees. But longer bits of grass are really good for caterpillars to pupate from. And like
To
this
what?
fact will blow you. Pupate. You know when caterpillars out their larval stage and they turn into butterflies,
Yeah,
they're in
okay,
that pupa thing, aren't they?
okay, yeah, gotcha. All right.
Get this is an amazing fact. 75% of a young hedgehog's diet is made up of caterpillars.
Oh, gets a
So
bit
little
boring though, wouldn't it?
hedgehogs,
Be like eating like McDonald's every day, wouldn't it?
I know, but think about our dogs, right? They eat the same thing every single
Oh
day
yeah,
and
poor
they're
dogs.
happy. Yeah,
Yeah.
poor dogs. I
Oh,
mean,
okay.
that's not, they have enough of life. But anyway, the reason why I mention it is because I was absolutely astounded by this fact, like how important pupils, larvae and caterpillars are to our wildlife, like hedgehogs and frogs and things like that. So not only is it really good, the longer grass, for things like the pollinators and the bees and the hoverflies, but also it provides a huge source of rich food source for other animals in the ecosystem. So yeah, so try out your mullet gardening on your lawn. Leave some bits a bit longer, some bits a bit shorter, and let us know. Obviously, it's copyright of Dave, circa 1990. When do you reckon you
Yeah,
invented
if there's
this?
money to be made on it, yep, I've name branded it, name marked it.
Lovely, cool, that's great. And then my third tip is one where we quite often have to deal with lots of dead stuff in our gardens. There's leaves, there's bits of logs, there's bits of trees, there's all sorts of kind of what we call dead material, which we have to manage. We either put it in our bins, we can compost it, but you can also use it quite creatively to make habitats. So, for instance, old logs, you can cut them up and leave them on the ground, and they are really good for things like beetles. They're great for worms, which you might think, oh, a bit slimy, but worms are fantastic, not only as a food source for birds, but also great to sort out your soil in all sorts of ways. One of the things I love doing is something called dead hedging, which is where you make hedges out of all your offcuts and prunings, and you can make them curvy, you can make them tall, you can make them short. And you get all sorts of wildlife living in and around it, hopping off it, perching under it, burrowing under it. Really good for solitary bees. And it's a great way of getting that material, keeping it on site and letting it rot down in situ. And it's much cheaper than endless tips to the dump. And, you know, back to me and my lazy approach to life, if there's an easy way of doing it, I'd much rather take that. So think about bug snugs, dead wood, dead hedges, thinking what you can do with your dead material in situ, rather than thinking you have to cut it all off to the tip or to the waste or to the brown waste bin. So that would be tip three. Have you ever thought about making a dead hedge, Dave? You've got lots of bamboo. Have I got right? I think you've got bamboo, haven't you, in your garden?
No, we did have. We got rid of most of that, and we managed to
Okay.
keep it away actually, which is quite good because we had to get rid of it because it's where our new charging thing is for our car. But yeah, I mean, I say no, we haven't got any hedging, but sometimes we do just cut the hedges back and just leave it on the grass to leave it on the ground just to sort of decompose itself. That's only because I can't be bothered to put it in the brown bin. That's all.
Now, again, it's just, but it's a way of dealing with it because it's a, it will what would happen in nature. No one comes around the woodland floor and sweeps up everything off the floor and puts it in a bin, do they? It just
No, that's
decomposes
right.
down, and that's when you get your really. That's if you ever go for a woodland walk and you feel the ground is quite like spongy and a bit bouncy. That's because it's been millions, not millions, but many, many tens and hundreds of years of organic matter composing down and rotting down to give that nice bouncy feel. So that's quite often a sign of really, really old and ancient habitats. So yeah, you adopt that in your hedges. It's a great idea.
That'd be
She
good.
goes, right.
I must inform the wife of that when she moans that I haven't put it in the brown bin yet. I say, oh,
No,
well, see,
I'm just creating a dead
making it,
hedge.
yeah, make it a dead hedge and I'm making it a nature garden.
Exactly. And linked to that is
Claire
my point
said,
four.
I can leave it on the floor.
I care, absolutely. And this links back to you absolutely psychedelically finding out my point already, which is point four is do less. So often the temptation in gardens is to see anything out of the unusual as a problem. Like we see slugs or we see aphids or we see something and we think, oh gosh, how can I fix this problem? And quite often nature is pretty good at sorting stuff out. So for example, last year we had lots and lots of aphids because we had a very warm spring, which meant they got out of the traps and got going and breeding very early in the system in the season. But then what happened was the ladybirds got up and about, and the ladybirds had a brilliant year last year because there was loads and loads of aphids for them to feast on. So quite often, not rushing out immediately when you see a particular issue to think, oh, what can I do? Can I buy a product to kind of fix this? Think about, is there another way in which you can deal with this? Whether that's by letting nature take its course or thinking, is there another kind of beneficial insect I can introduce to kind of restore some nature balance here? So it's tempting to leap for a plastic product sold on the shelf saying this will sort your problems. More often than not, we find those disturb the balance and actually cause different problems that we then have to try and spend even more time and money fixing. So give nature time and space to have a first crack at any problems you see. So that would be my next top tip,
Just like
which
cutting
I
your
think fits
finger,
quite well.
just like cutting your finger, really.
Yeah,
Well, if you cut your
yeah.
finger, just run it under the tap for a minute, and just and it will should seal itself up, shouldn't it, really?
It should, although
Well, it
interestingly,
depends
there's a lovely.
how deep it is, really, I
Yeah,
suppose.
yeah, yeah. Dear listeners, please do not go to A&E if you've cut your finger off, just because Dave said, "Oh, nature's a great healer." In
Cut the
fact,
top of your finger off. It will heal itself eventually.
there's a brilliant plant actually called self-heal, Prunella vulgaris, and as a
What
tiny
did you
little
say then?
flower, there's a
What was,
plant called self-heal
yeah,
called
what was the
Prunella
Latin for it?
Prunella vulgaris.
Oh, see, I
Yeah,
picked up
I
on it
know.
straight away.
You did.
I did, yeah.
That's the first klaxon of the year, and maybe I should have like some kind of penalty for every bit of Latin I
Think I
introduce.
might have to find a sound effect for that.
Yeah,
Every
I
time you
think.
do something Latin, I think I'll say, I'll find a sound effect for it. Okay, yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And it's called self-heal because even in medieval times, people knew that if you got this plant and you rubbed it on your skin, it actually helped those cells to bond and to the bleeding to stop. Same like yarrow, is another good one where it really has a good habit of slowing down any bleeding. So
Did
yeah,
it work?
so it, apparently so. Apparently so. I have used yarrow and I have used self-heal. Whether it's different to just putting it under a tap, I don't know, but
Well, that's
it's a
like
very
people
good
used to,
analogy.
you say dock leaves, just to, if you got stung by a stinging nettle.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Or dandelion. There's also we can do a whole nother podcast on useful things about plants. Let's do that. We'll add that to the long list of stuff. Otherwise, I'll
Medication
do
from
some
your
more Latin at
garden.
you.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and that brings me on to my final tip, which is quite often when people want a nature-friendly garden, they think about flowers. What flowers can I grow that will encourage pollinators? And I say that's a brilliant start. But what I'd encourage everyone to do is to think about the all of life cycle for biodiversity. So imagine if we just filled a garden just with flowers, it's like having a city, but having nowhere to live, but a whole, having a low road of restaurants, which is great. everyone does need to eat. So our wildlife does need to eat, and that's brilliant. But we also need somewhere to live. We need shelter, which is why these things like bug snugs and dead hedges are so good. We also need somewhere to drink, which is why introducing water is a good idea. And we also need places to eat and to forage and to hide and to nest and to breed, which is why things like dead hedges, bug snugs and, heights, perches, having bits of trees around the place are so good. So, but this is absolutely not to say don't whack in the flowers. I'm an absolute flower fiend, as anyone who's met me knows. But think about the whole of the life cycle. So think about how would you look after nature throughout the year, rather than just the kind of the buffet, the lovely, lovely barbecue buffet that we put out for them in the summer months. And so that's my final tip, really. I'd love to know if there's any questions from listeners on that, or any particular things they want any more information on. But I hope that helps for those people who are looking to be a little bit more nature friendly, but without kind of losing the sense of the garden being a nice, relaxing place rather than just a wilderness.
Yeah.
Wildlife friendly doesn't mean just brambles. There's a whole lot of things we can do to encourage nature while still having a space which we love and nurture for ourselves.
That's a good bit of information there. And if you've missed any of our other talks and chats or podcasts or whatever you want to call them, you can download all the whole back issue if you want to from the website. And there's plenty of stuff on there from, making a pond to all. Colors from plants and everything in there. There's a whole list of podcasts on there. Too many to mention.
There was a whole back catalogue, and if you can't find the precise one, if you just search Garden Editor Radio and the subject matter, that will also hopefully find them as well. So I'm happy listening, and I hope that has helped.
Right, okay. Now, we're going to see you in 2 weeks. But before that, what's your song for? Oh, well, I know what it is. What's your song for today?
Well,
See,
this one
in
didn't really
fact, it
need.
could have been a couple of yeah, okay, go on.
Okay. Well, I'll give you mine, and then you might want to throw a few more out there. But I thought this one almost wrote itself, doesn't it? Wildlife friendly gardening. It had
Yeah.
to be Wild Thing by the Troggs for me.
Yeah, see, I was thinking Wild Thing by Tone Loc from the 90s.
Oh,
See?
nice deep.
See?
Yes, I can see that one.
Same title, different artist,
Yeah,
different song, but there you
different.
go. No, we'll play your one, that's fine. It's your
That's fine.
little segment. I don't mind doing that. That's fine. Although my one's better, but there you go. Right, okay. So 2 weeks then.
Yes, indeed, and we'll come up with another subject matter. But my hive brain is already thinking. I think we'll do herbs and herbal medicine from the garden.
Herbal
We'll do something on
medicine.
that. Yeah.
Okay. All
So,
right. Perfect. Thank you
all
very much,
right.
Claire, and I'll speak to you in 2 weeks.
Speak to you soon, then, Dave. Bye
Thank
bye.
you.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio.